We're here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we're up to the word Alma, which is approximately six lines down from the top, trying to understand the sheet of Ula. But before we do that, let's just review where Ula comes into the picture. The Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis on the bottom had presented a stira between two Mishnayos. Our Mishnah says in the third group of psulos, which are chayvei krisus, that he pays knas, which means that although normally if there was asra for malchus in the case of chiyuv karis, he would get malchus. Here he doesn't get malchus because he pays the knas. However, we have a mishnah in Masechta Makis which lists the identical enumeration of chayvei krisus, and there the Mishnah says that you get Malchus. So when you have this overlap of both Malchus and Mammon, what's going to be? Two options. Either, as the Mishnah has it in Malchus, you get Malchus and you don't pay. Or, as our Mishnah has it in Perikei Lunaris, you pay and you don't get Malchus.
Are we distinguishing between Knas and other Tashlumin?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Omar Ula Lo Kasha, this is on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, just to review what we did last time. And basically what Ula says is that our case of Nara, as far as Knas is concerned, is talking about a case where she can collect, or in the case of the father's alive, the father will collect the Knas. And Ula holds, as we're going to learn today, that if there's a double obligation, a double punishment, both Malchus and Mammon, and the law is that you pay and you don't get Malchus. But in the case in Masechta Makis, there we're talking about a situation where there is no Knas. Why is there no Knas? And the answer is it's a case of a Bogeris. Bogeris doesn't get Knas. The Gemara is not happy with this, because even if there's no knas, there's still other monetary payments, which are called boshes upagam. And the Gemara tries to now interpret the Mishnah in Makis as referring to situations in which there is no boshes upagam. There's no knas because she's a bogeris. There's no boshes upagam because she's a shota. The Gemara claims that even in the case of a shota, there is a payment, and that is tsar. And Gemara says, we're talking about mafuta. And that's where we establish this principle. Then in the case of mafuta, there's no tsar. The Gemara says that therefore we can interpret the Mishnah in Makis as referring to a case of yesoma umafuta. The father's out of the picture. She herself is a nara. She doesn't collect the knas because she's a mafuta. And this is a gigantic machlokis about what din applies to a mafuta. This is my Ian shir that I give at 11:45. We spent 3 days on this, John, you may recall, as to whether there is mechila on knas. L'chor, there's no mechila because it's before hamar b'din. You can't be mochel before the chiv comes into reality. But in any event, the bottom line is that according to Ula, the rule is that if you have both Mammon and Malchus, if you pay Mammon, you don't get Malchus. The Mishnah in Masechta Makis is talking about a case where there is no Mammon. Why is there no Mammon? And that's where the Gemara ends up by saying it's a case of Yesoma Mafut. So that leads us to the sugya that we want to start today with the word Alma. Alma, what we see from this sugya, Kasavar Ula, Ula is of the opinion, Kol Hecha De'ika Mamanu Malchus, when you have a double punishment, you have to give him Malchus, and you have to pay Mammon, and that's going to be our Mishnah here in Elunaris, Mamona Mishale Milka Lolochi. The obligation that's imposed upon the sinner is that he pays Mammon, and that replaces Malchus. So again, even before Ula, we know that there's no two punishments. We can't give him both Malchus and make him pay Mammon. But what Ula is coming to Mechadesh is that when you choose one or the other, and the general rule would be that we choose the more chomor, that which is more severe, the more severe punishment. For example, in the case of Misa and Mammon, we will give him Misa and he is alleviated from Mammon. Here in the case of Mammon of Malkus, we would have thought, let's give him Malkus, and that alleviates him from Mammon. Comes along Ulo with a big chidush, and he says, no, on the contrary, Mammon you pay, and there's no Malkus. Again, if there's no Mammon, for the technical reasons in the Mishnah in Malkus, it's a Yisoma Mafuta, then we go back to square one, and there is Malkus. But in the case where there is Mammon, Mammon will be paid, Malkus will not be meted out. And the Gemara now wants to understand, Minole le'ula ha. What led Ula, there must have been some source, to compel Ula to come to that conclusion. Now, let's point out that the underlying logic of this question of the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to seem to reverse itself on this premise, is that intuitively we would have given Malkus and we would have exempted him from Mammon. And therefore, Minole le'ula ha, how does Ula know to turn it upside down and instead of going with the intuitive way that Malkus should be meted out and Mammon should be potter, like in the case of Misa we said before, there must have been some derivation, some source for Ula to derive the conclusion that the opposite is going to be the case, that you pay Mammon and you're exempt from Malkus. So Gemara says, Gomar mi chovel bechavero. So of course, chovel bechavero is an assault in which you physically injure your friend, which means that some blood comes out of his body as a result of the injury that you brought upon him. And we have to make the following two assumptions. Assumption number one is that chovel b'chavero is a double-barreled chiyuv, meaning you should get Malkus and at the same time you should be paying Mammon. So let's go through those two elements and then we go on to the next premise in the Gemara. Chovel b'chavero gets Malkus because of the lav of Lo Yosef. The Torah says in Parshas Kiseitze Dvarim Chofei Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef, that if a person is guilty and he has to be given these lashes, then we give him 40 lashes, but we don't add anything else. And when the Torah says Lo Yosef, that's a lotase. Now let's just assume that this lotase is addressed to the Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out the Malkus. And the Torah says you have to be very careful. Make sure that you meet out the exact number. Don't add another one. If you add another one, that is a violation of a lav to a reis of Lo Yosef. Now there's another pasuk that says pen Yosef. And the Rambam in Hilchas Chovel Umazik seems to imply that we derive this from Lo Yosef, whereas the Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies this halacha, derives it from pen Yosef. Now, usually the word pen is interpreted as a lotase if we have no other choice. Here it would seem that we have a choice. We could just simply derive it from Lo Yosef. Why do you have to introduce another pasuk? So this is a question the Bach asks on the Shulchan Aruch. Why does the Shulchan Aruch derive the violation of this law from pen Yosef? Why not derive it from Lo Yosef? And the Sma tries to explain that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch did not want to derive this lav from Lo Yosef is because perhaps the Torah is addressing this lav specifically to the case of a Shliach Bezdin. That on the one hand, the Shliach Bezdin is hitting a Rasha, meaning someone who violated the law of the Torah, Be'edim of Hasra, and the Rosh already got his 39 Malkus. Once he got his 39 Malkus, then the Torah addresses itself to the Shliach Bezdin and says, Lo Yosef, don't add an extra Makkah. He's already gotten his 39 Malkus. Avol says the Sma, B'makkah es chavero. Let's say a person meets his friend and he hits him. Makkah achas, he only hits him once. Shema ein bekach iser. Maybe that's not where the Torah's law applies. You've already given the person 39 Malkus. Now you give him one more Makkah. You know, that's very cruel. He's no longer a Rasha. He received his punishment and now you're hitting him. But in the case of Reuven who hit Shimon once, maybe that's not included in the lav of Lo Yosef. Lekach, and therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, we need an extra Yitura Dekra, an extra pasuk that says Pen Yosef. We can't derive it from Lo Yosef. And even though, in general, we're not excited about learning a lav and deriving it from Pen, but we can do so if it's a Yitur, if it's something that goes beyond a lav, meaning if you already have a lav, in this case Lo Yosef, then you can use the pen in the pasuk Pen Yosef to expand the nature of that lav and apply it universally to any time that Reuven hits Shimon. So this is dimension number one in the case of Chovo B'Chavero, you violate a lav. Now, like any lav in the Torah, if you violate a lav, B'Edimu B'Hasro, you get Malchus for that. On the other hand, the Torah has another dimension to Chovel, in which he pays compensation to the Nechbal. And that compensation is broken down into five parts, which are called Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes, all of which form one package, one compensation package. So we now have an overlap of a Chiyuv Malchus and at the same time a Chiyuv Mamon. So the Gemara is going to derive from a special pasuk that in this case of Chovel, you make him pay the money and you alleviate him from the Malchus. We're going to see this is derived from a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. It says, Rak Shivto Yiten, that he pays Sheves. Sheves means unemployment insurance, so to speak. So the fact that he couldn't go to work and he took a loss, you have to pay him for that and compensate. So obviously there is a Chiyuv Mamon. The Torah says it in the case of Sheves, but it applies to all five categories of Mamon. And we have a principle that you don't get Malchus and pay Mamon. It's one or the other. Says Ula, in the case of Chavola, the Torah is already giving us a precedent that if you have a double Chiyuv, both Mamon and Malchus, we're going to mete out Mamon and we're going to alleviate him from Malchus. And that's what Gemara says here, that Gomar, Ula derives mi chovel chaver, ma chovel b'chaver de'ika Mamon u'malkos. There's an overlap of both Mamon and Malchus. He violated the lav of Pen Yosef or Lo Yosef. He gets Malchus for that. And at the same time, he has to pay the five categories of Mamon. And what did the Torah teach us in the case of Chavola? Which way are we going to go? Are we going to make him pay money or are we going to give him Malchus? Mamono Meshalem, Milka, Lo Lachi. As we said before, that's going to be derived later on from a special Yalfusa, Rakshivto Yitain, to teach us that he pays Mamon. If he pays Mamon, he doesn't get Malchus. Says Ula, we have now what you call a Binyan Av. We have one case in which the Torah addresses explicitly a double Chiyuv, Mamon and Malchus. And the Torah says we give Mamon and he's alleviated from Malchus. Af Kol Hecha. So too we can universalize this to Ika Mamon u'Malchus. Anytime there's an overlap of Mamon u'Malchus, Mamona Mishalim, Milka, Lo Lucky. You pay the Mamon and you don't get Malchus. Now that could not be derived from the case of Onus u'Mefuta or Mefata, where you pay Mamon, because it's not necessarily so that in that parasha you get Malchus. There may be situations in which you should get Malchus. For example, if he was Baal Achoso and there was Asra for Malchus. But we don't know in such a case that he pays the Knas. Maybe he gets Malchus and he doesn't pay Knas. So for that we have to derive it from Chovel B'Chavero. Now, the Gemara is going to reject this Yalfusa from Chovel B'Chavero. Why is that? Because Chovel b'chavero is very chamur. We don't find in other cases that you pay mamon that the payment is broken down into so many different elements, so many different payments that he has to make. Nezek, tzar, ripu, sheves, and boshes. Apparently, the Torah wants to be more machmir in chovel. So perhaps, in the case of Chovel, the Torah says that instead of giving him Malchus, we're going to make him pay the Mamon, and that means let him pay Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. But that doesn't prove anything about other cases where there's an overlap between Mammon and Malchus. Maybe the Torah would be more Machmer and give Malchus. I don't know. So let's look at the Gemara's language here. Malachovel bechavero. I'm going to reject your binyan av, and I'm going to tell you that chovel bechaver is not the rule, but rather the exception to the rule. Over here, the Torah is going to say he pays Mammon. Shekein chayov bechamisha dvarim. Since he has a payment times five, he's got to pay for so many different things. The Torah, in the case of Chovel, and as we said before, the premise of the sugya is that it's either Malchus or Mammon, the Torah is going to say, let's impose upon him a chiyuv Mammon. And that's the nature of the chumrah of Chovel. However, in other cases where the Torah wasn't so machmir, you pay Mammon and that's it. Maybe in those cases, the Torah would say, give him Malchus and don't give him Mammon. Now, on this sugya that we just read, there's a major, actually it's two different pieces by the same author, the Chassam Sofer. One is in his Tshuvas and one is in his Chidushim. The Chassam Sofer is very perplexed by this Gemara. He says that the premise that underlies this whole sugya is that to make someone pay Mammon as opposed to giving him Malchus and alleviating him from paying Mammon is a chumrah. In other words, we thought that intuitively, if you had to choose the more chumrah punishment in this case of an overlap of both Mammon and Malchus, which would be intuitively more chamor? Malchus, 39 lashes, that's a corporeal punishment. And in this sugya, the Gemara assumes that after you calculate these five chiyuvim in the case of Chovel, meaning Nezek Tzaripa Shev Sabosh, you come to a certain sum. Let's say, I don't know, I'm just throwing out numbers here. Each one of these five was 20. So at the end, you pay 100. And it's a big chumrah. Why is it a big chumrah? Because we're going to make you pay 100. And as a result, you don't get Malchus. 39 lashes. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll just read to you his very poetic language here. He says, Atu b'shuftenei askinan. Shuftenei is a word for idiosyncrasy. We know that a normal person, his guf is more chaviv olav mimamono, even though there are exceptions to the rule, and some people find that their mamon is more important than their guf. But you have to grant the Chassam Sofer this premise in asking his kasha, that a normal person would certainly assume that if he can get away with a physical corporeal punishment of 39 malchus by paying a fee, he would certainly want to go that way. And that would be his option. And yet, the underlying premise of this sugya is that dafka, because the Torah wanted to be machmer in chavola, because of the violation of this terrible avera of Pen Yosef, therefore the Torah imposed upon him a chiyuv mammon and alleviated him from the chiyuv malchus. And in that choice decision, we're going to be machmer, we're going to hit him over the head, and we're going to say, you know what? You have to pay this fine. Says the Chassam Sofer, the whole premise of the Gemara makes no sense. No one would say that that paying a fine in order to exonerate yourself from 39 lashes is a chumrah. That's a kula. How can the Gemara call that a chumrah? And in order to explain this Gemara, the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas goes in one direction, and in his Chidushim he goes in another direction. In his Tshuvas, he wants to apply a methodological rule which is a pircha. Pircha means that when you reject a limud, there are certain rules that apply. Let me explain. When you want to derive something from X, because you say that X is the Torah wanted to be makil in X and how much more so in more chomerdika cases. So the law is, this is the methodology of the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas, that if you can find in one, relative to one dimension, that it's a chumrah, that already allows you to reject a limud. In other words, I can say that your yalfusa from case X, because you're assuming that in case X, the Torah said, you know, pay and don't get malchus. We can apply that universally to all cases when you have those two punishments, two options. No, if I can find you in one, relative to one concept, no matter how minute it is, there's going to be a chumrah in imposing mamon as opposed to getting malchus, then that's enough technically to undermine the alfusa and say that maybe in Chovel, where the Torah was so machmir in Chovel, and we saw that in the fact that you pay five different payments, which is so unique to Chovel, and that puts Chovel in a separate category. It's not like all of Nezikin, we only pay one, you only pay Nezik. He says, if I can find you that payment of Mammon, as opposed to Malchus, is a Chumrah, then I can't derive anything from Chovel. I could say that the Torah said something special about Chovel because of the Chumrah of Chovel, and there's no way you can universalize that. So there's no Binyan Av. So the Ksam Sofer says, what did the Gemara have in mind as one Chumrah in Mammon? And again, we're not talking about an idiot. We're talking about someone who's normal. So he says that it's a Chumrah, and this he bases on another sugya in Bava Kama. The Gemara says it's a Chumrah, and that is that if we would give Malchus and he, the Chovel, would not pay the five payments, that would be a Chumrah vis-a-vis Bonav Shelo Yerushuva. So in other words, as far as the Yarshim is concerned, if you're going to cut them out from this Mammon, they lose that Mammon. So again, as far as he's concerned, for sure it would be better for him to pay the Mammon than get Malchus. But what he's doing for his Yarshim is, he's taking this 100 that we spoke about before, and he's cutting them out of that Yerusha. So vis-a-vis someone else on the face of the earth, it comes out that they lose by the fact that you're giving him Malchus. And that makes it into a Chumrah. That's all the Gemara had in mind here. When the Gemara said that there's a Chumrah in making him pay Mammon, and therefore you cannot derive any conclusions from Chovel, because Chovel, the Torah, was very machmir on Chovel. What the Ksam Sofer claims in his Tshuvas is that it's a Chumrah not vis-a-vis the Avarion, the sinner, right? Because for him, for sure, he would rather pay Mammon than get Malchus. So why is that? So then we would have a Kal v'Chomer. If the Torah wanted to be machmir in the case of Chavol, and yet the Torah says he can get off easy, and he doesn't get Malchus because he's going to pay the fine, it's always easy to sign the check. So how much more so in other cases where the Torah is not machmir? For sure that we would say that he can get off easy. If the Torah let him off easy by paying a check and giving Mammon instead of having Malchus, then how much more so in other cases which are like Averos relative to Chovel? Certainly. So why did Gemara reject this? And the answer is because giving the Chovel a Chiyuv Mammon is a Chumrah. And maybe it's a result of the Chumrah that the Torah wanted to be Machmir and Chovel. Now you'll ask me, how could it possibly be that if he's paying a check, signing a check, that's a Chumrah? That's obviously cool. He's saving himself 39 lashes over the shoulders. And the answer is because it's a Chumrah vis-a-vis someone else. And according to the methodology of the Tshuva and the Ksam Sofer, that's enough for a Pircha against the Alfusa, against the Binyan Av. However, the Ksam Sofer in his Chidushim is somewhat oblivious to what he himself wrote in the Tshuva. And, you know, the note-takers here are very interested to know exactly when he wrote the Tshuva and when he wrote the Chidushim. Okay, that's history. That doesn't interest me. But let's try to understand the Ksam Sofer's answer to our sugya in the Chidushim. And he says the following. Yeah, we're dealing with normal people. So you'll tell me that in a normal case, certainly a person would rather pay a check, sign a check, than get Malchus over his shoulder. However, he says, there are so many different variables that go into the equation that there may be situations in which the Mammon is a Chumrah. And here's what he comes up with. He says the following. You can have, on the one hand, the smallest minimum amount of money to pay. That's called a hakosh eshova pruta. And all he has to pay is one pruta. Obviously, in that case, he would rather pay a pruta than get Malchus. But he says you can have the other extreme case. You could have a hakah where the chiyuv mamon is worth more than the 39 malchus. Fahainu, what would be a case where the chiyuv mamon is so intense and so immense that he would rather pay the mamon? I'm sorry, that he would rather get the malchus than pay the mamon. He says, Hainu, in hika adam nichbad, let's say, for example, he hits someone who is, you know, he's the governor of the state, and in such a case, you know, because of Nezek and Boshes and so forth and so on, you jack up the price enormously. Also, it could be that he hit him a hakah gedola in such a way that he suffered a tremendous amount, so the tsar went up and the nezek went up and so forth and so on. Again, for this we'd have to learn Perek HaChovel in Bava Kama. He says, Aschum shalahezek ne'emad. Ne'emad means it's evaluated. Biyoser, even more than the omed of shovi lamites malchus. Meaning, we have a way of assuming that in a certain case, again, depending upon the size of the guy and how much he can take, that lamites malchus is something that's worth X. We can actually evaluate it. How much would you pay in order to spare yourself lamites malchus? Let's say we come up with a number, I would pay $1,000. But let's say the payment here in this case, because it's an Adam Nichbah and it's Hakah Gedola and the Hezek is great, he would have to pay $10,000. So in this case, even if he's not Shuftanei, he's not an idiot, he would still opt for taking the Malkus instead of paying this enormous sum of money. And therefore, the Gemara says that we have a Chumrah here in Chovil, in certain situations, where the Torah is going to say that despite the fact that if you would ask him, and maybe if you'd ask anyone else, he would rather take the Malkus than pay this enormous sum that's going to put him into debt for the rest of his life. Nevertheless, the Torah says he's got to pay that sum. And that makes Chovil B'chaver a very unique case, where even in this equation between, you know, weighing on the scale, Mamon and Malchus, you would still say that Mamon is the Chumrah, it's more detrimental to his position than the Malchus themselves. And I would add, again, I didn't see the Ksam Sofer inside, I would add there are certain cases where you don't give 39 Malchus. For example, if you learn Masech the Malchus, you know, Malchus is divided up into three sections of 13, and we figure out who can take 13, who can take 26, who can take 39, etc., etc. But in any event, there are going to be scenarios in which a person in that particular station in life would rather get the Malchus than pay the Mamon, and yet the Torah says you have to pay Mamon. And therefore, we might assume that because such a scenario could exist, the Torah considering that and weighing the chumrah of chovel b'chavera, which is very, very severe, that you wounded your friend and you violated the law of Ben Yosef, the Torah decided to be machmir, and the Torah said that you should pay mamon rather than get away with easy street and get malchus. And if that be the case, then you cannot use chovel b'chavera as your binyan av. Why? Because maybe in other cases, in other violations where the Torah was not so machmir, the Torah would say, you know what? In that case, we're going to say that you get Malchus, right? Again, because we're talking about a case where Malchus is less severe than Mamon, right? And a person would rather pay, you'd rather get the Malchus than pay Mamon. In such a case, We would say, since it's not the chumra of Chovel, we're gonna let him get away with Malchus. Do you hear the Ksam Sofer? It's a pretty radical approach. Mm. Let him get away with Malchus. Again, I don't know if you can accept this. You know, that's for you to judge. The first answer of the Ksam Sofer in the Chuvus is much more technical, and he's saying that there is a chumra legabi the Yorshim, because the Yorshim are not going to have this sum of money. Let's say if they evaluated the Nezik Tzaripu Shem Zvosa at $50,000, then they're out those $50,000. So again, even though the Chovel himself got off easy because he paid the check rather than suffer the corporeal punishment of Malchus, but nevertheless the Yorshim are going to suffer. And that makes it into a Chumrah in one sense, you know, in one relative sense, and that's enough to destroy the Pircha. According to the Tshuva, according to the Chidushim in the Ksam Sofer, it's a whole different approach. What the Gemara is saying is that Eino Chinami, in certain cases, you'd rather get the Malchus than pay the Mamon. And giving Malchus is getting off easy. And in the case of Chovel, because of the nature of the Chumrah of Chavala, the Torah didn't want to let him off easy, and therefore the Torah says he has to pay. But in other cases, maybe we'll let him off easy and get Malchus. So how, Ula, can you derive your conclusion that you always pay Mammon and you're alleviated from Malchus? How can you derive that from Chovel? And Rabbi Moshe, you may think that what I just told you in the last 10 minutes took me about 5 minutes to prepare, but I'm not going to even tell you how long and what time I woke up this morning in order to prepare this. But anyway, that's beyond the...
According to Chatam Sofer, I don't see that it's Dafka Chovel. In other words, are there Malkot for Gneva or Gezela? They're also loving. And if so, then everything you said might apply there too.
There are technical reasons why in Gneva and Gezela you don't get Malchus. I don't know if you want to go through that.
No, that's fine. Okay.
But that's called a Labanita Klase. But what we're talking about is a case where there would be Malchus, all the conditions are there. On the other hand, there's a payment of Mammon. And Ula, in this Havamina, which the Gemara rejected, wants to derive from Chovel B'Chaver, in such a case you pay the Mammon and you're alleviated from Malchus. And any case where there's going to be an overlap between Malchus, all the conditions for Malchus exist, and Mammon, we're going to say pay Mammon and don't get Malchus. The Gemara says, how can you derive that from Chovel? Chovel is the Torah wants to hit the Chovel with the whole kitchen sink. You know, let's be as machmer as we can. So maybe in this case, we want to be machmer and say, don't get away with it easy, but rather pay the mammon. And it's an enormous sum of money. You know, in this case, you could imagine that in certain cases, nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes, you know, when you add together all five, and you're talking about an odom nichbad, and so forth and so on, you end up with an enormous, enormous payment. Because, by the way, boshes is not objective. You know, you have to learn Perek HaChovel for this, but Boshes HaKol Lefi HaMavayish VaMizbayish, which means that, you know, if you insult the, you know, you may spit in someone's face. Okay, so that's a humiliation if it's public and it's worth $10,000. But if you spit in the face of the governor, you know, that's worth $100,000. You know that. Okay, now we get to the next three words of the Gemara. Don't think it gets easier. It doesn't get any easier. The Gemara says the following: Ve'i mamona lekula, etc. Now, this I mamona lekula, there's a Rashi here that is just impossible. I'm telling you, I read this Rashi 1,000 times. I don't know what the man is bounding about, but maybe you'll understand this Rashi. But one thing I got from Rashi that I can tell you is the Gemara is now rejecting the rejection and bringing back the Yalfusa from Chovel. And now the Gemara is going to say that Mammon is considered a Kula. Now, what is the reversal here? Now, you have to go through the two Chasam Sofers. And we can only guess what the Chasam Sofer would be saying. In the case of the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas, what the Gemara is saying is that we're not sure about that methodology. That clearly, Mammon is a Kula. You came up with a chumra vis-a-vis the Yarshim because they're not going to inherit this money if their father pays that money. That doesn't make it into a chumra. Again, the Yarshim, with all the respect, you know, wait till the father passes away. You know, some Yarshim already counting their chickens. You know, before the Morish dies. But that's, you know. So then, from the Chasam Sofer's first perspective, what I call the tshuvas, the Gemara might be making a reversal on a methodological level and say, no, you can derive conclusions from Chovel, and Rashi calls it a Kal V'Chomer, meaning that if you accept the Gemara's I Mammona Lekula, that Mammon is an absolute Kula, then we have a Kal V'Chomer now, and we go back to the original derivation of Ula. What's the Kal V'Chomer? That Adra, in the case of Chavola, where a Chovel, the Torah wants to hit him with the whole, you know, the whole brunt of the law, Lechumra. And yet the Torah says we're going to let him off easy and let him write the check instead of getting Malchus. How much more so in the cases where it's not a Chumra, the classic cases of Mammon, the Torah, the classic Averos, which is not the Chumras Avera of Chovel, how much more so the Torah is going to let him off easy? So at this point, the Gemara is rejecting the rejection and resurrecting the original Yalfus of Ula from Chovel. That's clear. If you go with the Chasam Sofer in the Chidushim, then it's a little bit more fudgy-wudgy over here. And the Gemara is now saying, okay, you may come up with a pretty unique or rare set of circumstances in which a person would rather get Malkus, you know, put his shoulder to the task and instead of paying this enormous sum of money, but that's not how the halacha works. The halacha works in which we have to define Mammon and Malkus as two categories, compare them and contrast them, and in that context, when we take Mammon and Malkus in and of themselves, certainly Mammon is a kula. You may come up with a situation where the chiyuv Mammon was so immense that it by far exceeds the me'umot of 39 Malkus, but that's not how we're going to define Mammon. We're going to define Mammon as a kula. And again, Rabbi Osei, I can't overemphasize this point. If we define Mammon as a kula, then we bring back the original Yalfus of Ula, and Rashi says, with a Kavachomer. Because if in the case of Chovel, where the Torah should have been more Machmer, the Torah said, let him get away with it, and he pays rather than gets Malkus, how much more so in a classic violation, which doesn't have that same Chumrah as Chovel, how much more so would the Torah allow him to get away with the easier of the two punishments, namely Mammon?
Two questions. One, just what is the halacha on Chovel versus Malkus, right? On Mammon versus Malkus for Chovel? Is the halacha actually that you pay the Mammon?
Right. That was the point you missed before you came in. There's a pasuk in the parasha of Mishpatim that says Rak Shivto Yite, and the Gemara is going to derive from the word Rak. We didn't get to this yet, but we had to introduce it in order to get by the sugya. The Gemara is going to have a long limud for this. That Rak means he pays Sheves, as opposed to getting Malkus.
Okay. Then the second point is with the Chasam Sofer. It seems like you could get the Kal V'Chomer even with both of the explanations. If Chovel has more categories of Nezek,
right,
then it would always seem to be a greater amount of money than other categories of other situations where you pay Mammon, right? So therefore,
it could be, but it doesn't have to be. Meaning, it could be that it's a Shomer Pruta, that even if we add Nezek, Tzara, Ripui, Sheves, Boshes together, what you end up with is a single Pruta. Now, Pruta is enough to be Mechayev you Mammon, and if we alleviate you from 39 Malkus, I mean, that's a real cool. So the Gemara is saying now that, you know what, maybe we have a beautiful Kal V'Chomer from Chovel, because if the Torah is willing to say to a person that for paying one Pruta, we're going to alleviate you from 39 Malkus, how much more so in other cases where the Torah wasn't so machmir, there's only one payment, let's say Nezek, then certainly the Torah would say that the moment is enough to alleviate you from Malkus. So the Gemara says now we have another pircha. I'm going to show you that despite the chumrah of Chovel, the Torah was really makil in Chovel. Where do we find a kula in Chovel? Shekein hutar michlolo bebezdin. The Torah has legislated a lav not to hit someone, not to wound someone. That's Pen Yosef. But there's a funny kind of kula that's built into Pen Yosef. Other lavim, like if the Torah says don't eat chazer, there's no situation in which the Torah alleviates you from that violation. You're always going to violate it. Again, you may be pikuach nefesh and so forth and so on, but in the case of Pen Yosef, there's a built-in heter to the violation. And that is Bezdin. The Torah says that if a person violates a lav with Edim and Asra, Bezdin is going to mete out 39 lashes. And 39 lashes are basically 39 violations of the Iser Pen Yosef. So we see that Huter Mechlolo, now again, Rav Osei, Huter Mechlolo, those two words, if you would do a word search throughout Shas, Huter Mechlolo is like a very profound, shall we say, structural a logical structure that applies all over the place. Like for example, you have the Isur Chadash. The Torah says that Chadash is Huter Mechlolo, because after you bring the Omer, then it's Mutter Lehejot, even though it's still Aslam is back until the Shtei Alechem. Huter Mechlolo means I can puncture your balloon if I can find within the context of this Avera, although it's a very severe Avera, that the Torah was Matir that Avera. If there's one Heter in that Avera, that already breaks down or destroys your premise that that avera is a chumrah, because the Torah was matir that avera. So once again, to quote the Chassam Sofer, he says, I don't know what the Gemara is batting about. This doesn't make the beginning of sense. He says that it's not that the Torah was matir the Iser of Pen Yosef. On the contrary, the Torah obligated Bezdin as a mitzvah of tzedek tzedek teretov, that they are obligated to give Malkus. Why is that called Hutu Mechlolo? Hutu Mechlolo means there was an Iser, and then the Torah was matir that Iser. But here in this case, there was no Iser on Bezdin. On the contrary, the mitzvah was incumbent upon Bezdin to hit this Rasha 39 times. So I'm just mentioning this again. The Chassam Sofer is very upset with the Gemara.
They're finding that it's the kula based on the exact condition that gives rise to the lashes themselves. In other words, by creating the category of lashes as a punishment, they're saying it creates the kula that prevents you from giving them.
But Eric, here's your two choices. You decide. I'm going to give you A and B. Okay? A means that Bezdin is really doing the action which constitutes a violation of the Iser of Pen Yosef. But the Torah is matir that Iser. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is that the Torah, in the case of Bezdin, when a Rasha violated a law with Edom and Asra, the Torah commands Bezdin to mete out the Malkus. That's not a heter on the Iser. That's the case in which the Torah says that the Chavola, the Chovel, is fulfilling a mitzvah. So the first approach says, Nain, this is an Avera. Why we look at the external action, and we see that you're beating up this guy. That's a violation of Pen Yosef, and yet the Torah was matir for the sake of Bezdin. The other way of saying it is that this is not a violation of the Iser Pen Yosef. We're not beating this guy up because we want to wound him. We're beating him up because the Torah commanded us to do that.
Wouldn't the same thing apply to Midei Bezdin? I mean, wouldn't it this? It's the same. You're prohibited from murdering.
So I'm going to ask you the following question. Here's your two choices. When Bezdin puts a violator of a capital crime to death, are they violating the Iser of Lo Tirtzach, just the Torah was matir it? Or obviously there's no Lo Tirtzach. Do you follow my point?
Yeah, I'd say it's the latter.
So what's the kain Huta Mechlolo? Huta Mechlolo means you have an Iser and the Torah was matir it. Let's say, for example, if you have an Iser Chelev and the Torah was matir Chelev of Behema, not Chelev of Achaya. That's called Huta Mechlolo. It's Chelev. There should have been an Iser and the Torah says we're going to be matir it. You have an Iser Chodosh and the Torah says we're going to be matir it L'Achilas Hedjel, L'Achilas Odom after the Omer is brought, so the Omer is matir the Iser. You know, that's called a Huta Mechlolo situation. There was an Iser and the Torah was matir it. But here the Torah commanded you as a Bezdin to beat out these 39 Malkus. Very far-fetched to call that Huta Mechlolo, and the Chassam Sofer can't figure this out.
I guess I'm agreeing with him. I'm
yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You know, the Chassam Sofer is a TKO over here. I mean, to say that there's an Iser which the Torah was matir is very difficult. So I just want to tell you one thing here. Yeah. This is mind-boggling. The Chassam Sofer was so impressed by this kasha that he poshut reinterpreted the Gemara. And he says that, you know what the Gemara has in mind? The Gemara has in mind a case of someone who did not violate an Isur, and he's not Chai of Malkus, and yet Bezdin will give him Makos, again, not the 39 Makos as we know them, but Bezdin will beat him up until, again, this is my edition, until he's blue, he's black and blue all over. And why? And this is based on halacha, that Bezdin Yecholim LaHalkos Afal Pishen of Chayev Malkus Kidei Ligdar Pirtza. This is a whole sugya Masechti of Amos, which the Rambam codifies in the 24th chapter of Hilchos Sanhedrin. That in certain situations, that in order to protect the Dar, you know, they beat up a guy. I mean, you know, it's a case of a guy who wanted to see a woman naked. I'm not going to go into all the gory details over here, but Kidei Ligdar Pirtza, Bezdin has super. Judicial rights, you know, that go beyond the judicial rights, or super executive rights, I guess you'd say, extra executive rights, and to beat him up. And that's already a heter. That's where Bezin has to make a shikul adas. They have to decide what they should do. On the one hand, we're going to beat this guy up. He doesn't really deserve to be beaten up. On the other hand, we have to worry about the dar. We have to worry about the implications of his... You know, the Gemara talks about someone who was riding a horse on Shabbos. You remember this? And the Gemara says that at that time, there was a pirza in Shabbos. So even though he only violates a shmus, you know, Shema Yitlosh or Yalav Yitlosh, whatever the case is when you ride a horse, the Gemara says that they beat the living daylights out of him, you know. So he says that's already a matir. It's a very lovely shech sam sofer. Anyway, at this point, the Gemara is stuck up against a brick wall. We don't have a source for ulam.
Can I ask a question? So, if you ever had a choice between money and malchus, how could you halachically ever allow yourself to get malchus? You can't do that to yourself. If you had a choice,
no, we don't give you a choice. You're going to have to pay the mom.
Right, but I'm saying
that's ulam.
But I'm saying you would never have to be able to do that with a choice.
Correct. That choice doesn't exist. That choice doesn't exist. But what we have to do is, in order to derive conclusions from Chovel, we have to make a decision in terms of the Onshei Bezdin. How does the Torah classify these two Onshim? Which is the more Chomer Onish? And if you're going to come to the conclusion that the more Chomer Onish would be Malchus, right? So then we can have a beautiful Kal V'chomer. This was Ula's point. That if the Torah in Chaval, which is so Chumra, and yet the Torah allows you to get away easy with Mon, then how much more so in a classical case the Torah is going to give you that allowance, that leniency. Says the Gemara name, you can't derive anything from Chovil. Maybe the Torah was make it with Chovil. The Torah let him get away with Malchus. I'm sorry, the Torah let him get away with paying the five. Why? Because hutu mechlolo. And once I find you a hutu mechlolo, it means that this lav is different than any other lav. Any other lav in the Torah says you know, it's an absolute, no exception lav. Here the Torah says you can violate this lav. Who's going to violate this lav? Bezdin. And that's where we had the...
I'm sorry, can you just read these lines from Malachovel until the end of Hutar Mechlal?
Yeah, it's not that many lines that we covered today, but I'm telling you, this Gemara.
Yeah, I'm having trouble.
This Gemara is murder. You know, if you wonder why I come early and I go to a 6 a.m. meeting, you know, when I could easily go to a 7 o'clock meeting, you know, and know the difference, is because I'm sitting here in that room schwitzing like a schwitzbot. If we can get a fan, I would pay all the money in the world.
I just come in here to have the air?
Because I need privacy, I need quiet. That's just the way my. I don't know. What?
Is there no AC in that room?
I don't see any AC in that room. And not with that, I tried to open the window. I couldn't even open up the window. Maybe I could hide myself somewhere in the corner of it. Anyway, just to go over the Gemara once more. The Gemara says, let's go over the Limud. The Gemara says, and what does the Torah say? This is going to be a derivation later on from the pasuk Rak Shivto Yitain that Mamono Mishale Milkololoki is Af Kol Hecha Deika Mamono Malkis Mamono Mishale Milkololoki. Chovel is going to set the pattern for all double punishments that you give Mamon instead of Malkis. The Gemara says no. I'm going to reject that. Why? Because the Torah, in the case of Chavola, wanted to be super machmir. And because it wanted to be super machmir in the case of Chavola, that's why the Torah says he has to pay. So the Sam Sofer goes ballistic. What do you mean? Because the Torah wanted to be machmir in Chavola, therefore the Torah imposes upon him Mamon. Mamon is the easy way out. Nein, he says Mamon is not such an easy way out. It's not so easy for the Arshim, and it might not even be so easy for him himself if he has to pay $100,000 in Chavola fees. That's where it's, you know, here it's even a normal person would rather take the 39 Malkus. Again, you have to know Masechta Malkus exactly what 39 Malkus is. I mean, basically, it's not like this big, giant, burly guy that's beating you until you die. You know, say, and the Gemara says, you know, the stick has to be very soft, and the guy can't be too strong, and so forth and so on. I mean, that, for that you have to learn the last parak of Masechta Malkus to see exactly what Malkus is. But in this case, it would be a kula I'm sorry. It would be a chumrah to make him pay mammon, which is 100,000, then give him the malchus. So maybe the Torah is machmir in the case of chavola. Hence, you have no limud. Oh, now the Gemara backtracks. And if you'll reject this whole methodological premise that it's a chumrah to pay mammon, on the contrary, punk fakeret, as we say in Yiddish, it's mammon is lakula, because in 99 out of 100 situations, a person would much rather get away with paying money than getting malchus. Hence, we go back to the kal v'chomer of Ula. And if in the case of Chavol, which is a violation that's very chomer, the Torah let him get away with what? With mammon. How much more so in a lesser violation, the Torah is going to let him get away with mammon? The Gemara answers, no. I'll prove to you that there's a kula in the lav, in the Avera Pen Yosef of Chovel, that doesn't apply in any other lav in the Torah. And that's called Shekein Huta Mechlolo BeBezdin, that the Torah allows a violation of Pen Yosef in the case of Bezdin. Osher, can I borrow your pencil? Just so I make a note of what we got. Again, I'm trying to convince myself not to get depressed if we only did about 3 lines today, but I'm telling you, to get through these 3 lines is absolute murder, I'm telling you.
It's not a race.
It's not a race. Not in this case.
We're trying to learn Torah. It's, you know, it's,